Hello, welcome to another Your Politics, RTE's politics podcast from our team at Leinster House. I'm Áine Lawler, and with me my colleagues Micheál Lehane and Barry Lenehan. And we're only just now at the end of April, but the budget is the big topic really in Leinster House throughout the week, with Labour now joining Sinn Féin in demanding a mini budget. Both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste insisting they're going to keep holding back until the autumn. Of course, they've already put the big fuel package on the table, and we got more detail about the loans that will be available to hauliers and drivers and farmers this week. The Tánaiste has also been confirming that he is considering individual tax breaks in the budget that he's holding off for until the autumn. And he has also said this week that he's not ruling out energy credits either. This, of course, is despite the ESRI coming out with data this week that targeted measures are by far the better way to deal with the growing problem of fuel poverty in the country. And everyone's worried about the winter that may lie ahead, not just in terms of prices, but also supply. And then on top of that, we've the changes in the rules on Ukrainian accommodation. Maybe a boost for the government on the latest housing completion data, although we had another homeless record being set last Friday. The Children's Hospital continues to miss deadlines, and we know who all the runners and riders are in the two by-elections are when nominations close Friday. So that's about it. Micheál, have I summed it all up?
I think it's all there, yeah. I suppose what was interesting during the week was the Taoiseach, when he was pressed in the Dáil again about that budget question, and they're saying, well, the budget is for the following year, and saying not necessarily. And I suppose that is the broadest hint yet, that if the government do make it as far as the budget without intervening before then, and I suppose they will have to do something if it comes to even extending the current excise cuts. But if they largely keep things on track until then and keep their own TDs busy enough drawing up proposal papers and the like, and if the summer weather manages just to keep those energy costs low, well, then you would see, it seems, those immediate one-off measures. And I suppose energy credits, you would expect, could be part of that, given that no one's ruling it out, but also social protection, double payments and the like. It seems to be a package of that order. Interesting today too, I thought, when Simon Harris, who did seem so gung-ho earlier in the week talking about things like one-off measures for heat pumps and maybe electric cars and that, slightly seemed to be deferring to Darragh O'Brien today, of course, whom he didn't speak or run any of this past, saying that was essentially his area. But he had asked his own officials to look at what levers to pull when it came to alleviating fuel poverty. So I think the brakes being applied somewhat, but interestingly, when it comes to brakes, of course, the advice from the government that they issued about not using too much transport fuel was not to brake too heavy at all if you are on the road, and that'll save you fuel.
And of course, the ongoing situation, the ongoing blockade by both the Americans and the Iranians in the Strait of Hormuz means that it looks, I mean, this talk, the Americans believe, you know, they're happy to hold out for another 2 months. So the warnings about the impact on all of us next winter rising and rising. But just interesting in terms of all the commentary, before we get into some of the detail of that, Barry, the Green Party leader, the sole Green TD in the Dáil, Roderick O'Gorman.
Yeah, the lone voice, yeah.
But when he was talking about what the Tánaiste had been saying about, you know, maybe we need one-off help for people on things like heat pumps and EVs, but he was warning, well, there's an impact to saying things like that because people will just sit back and do nothing until you announce something. The expectation is being fed.
Yeah, and there was no timeline, I suppose, in that announcement either from Simon Harris earlier this week when he said he asked his officials to look in to those grants. So he was saying, look, we're looking for towards the longer term. We're looking to move people away from fossil fuels. But again, he didn't say as to when, by. And of course, as Micheál say now, deferring to the line minister, Darragh O'Brien, after earlier on, perhaps not. I found it interesting as well, talking to some of the Fianna Fáil backbenchers Micheál referenced there, the position papers that they're all drawing up. They seem to be of the opinion that Micheál Martin wants the budget, the Taoiseach wants the budget firmed down by the end of June, early July, to have most measures nailed down. This despite, obviously, the volatility in Iran. So it does seem like we are in for, as we were saying there off air, a long, hot summer when it comes to discussing budgetary measures, yeah, and looking towards kites in the sky as well.
And of course, we had Jack Chambers, the Minister for Public Spending and Reform, warning that, you know, already the budget sums for next year are being affected by the measures the government is taking already, yeah, even though, as far as the opposition are concerned, it's the sweet feck all and diddly squat of it all, isn't it, according to Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald?
Yeah, that is the claim. I think, though, you could see some of the concern within government about that this really hasn't begun to bite in earnest at all yet, and that the Taoiseach in the week speaking about the medium and long term impact, and not just energy as well, talking about fertiliser costs and also scarcity of helium, and talking about major impacts when it comes to world food productions. So there does seem to be a real fear there and that need to keep something in reserve when it comes to the winter. I mean, putting it back to the opposition, the Taoiseach saying, what will we do in the winter then? What would we do if all the money was gone and the cupboard was bare? So I suppose that is kind of seems to be the government position on it.
But it's hard, isn't it, for the government to keep, you know, insisting that they're playing the prudence line when the estimates on the take from corporation tax just seem to go up by the month. What are we at this stage?
It's gone way up.
9 billion?
Is it 9 billion? The surplus,
And the question around that is, like, if you pare that back, the chunk of the money is still all going into what they don't like in government buildings to call rainy day accounts, but the long-term accounts. Is that really going to happen? And I think when you look at what happened with the sacrosanct thing that was the carbon tax, the fact that the pause button was pressed there, I don't think it would be surprising unless there is a huge extra surplus that comes in late in the year with corporation tax that would allow them not to do it. I think the question mark will really begin to zone in on whether the bulk of that money goes into those long-term saving accounts.
But there does seem to be an acceptance, though, from government figures that there will be one-off supports perhaps again in the autumn when the winter is biting. Mm-hmm. But as you say, it's just about getting to that stage first.
And again, so we're back into the whole, you know, the government has set up a number of temporary measures already in the wake of the fuel protests. So the first question, even before they get to the autumn and the budget, is, you know, do they roll those over throughout the summer or hope that people don't notice when their bills start going back up again? The carbon tax, we're hearing now maybe we can look at different ways of calculating it. We have the Taoiseach talking about looking for ways to bring electricity bills down permanently, so that rather than credits, maybe some of the levies that are on your electricity bill would be taken
off. He's been
off.
Speaking about that really from the formation of government, and it was one of the big things in the formation of government talks, and talking about structural changes. And when you start hearing structural changes, it really is just someone trying to buy time, I think, in political terms, because it's so difficult to achieve. Mm-hmm. And government hasn't made any progress on that, and that's borne out by the fact that the people in arrears with electricity actually has gone up to 317,000 now.
Yes, and this is why the opposition, Sinn Féin in particular, and Labour again this week saying, no, there has to be a mini-budget, workers need a break.
And not just this week, Labour to use Dáil time next week as well to call, using their private members' time to call for an emergency budget for PAYE workers. So the coalition, while it might have hoped that it has maybe drawn a line under the events of 3 weeks ago, those fuel protests with this new package, the €500 million package on top of the 250 of a few weeks ago, really the opposition keen to make them stay on this issue for as long as possible. So Labour using that time and, of course, Áine Sinn Féin, obviously, over the weekend and through the week. Mini budget, emergency measures, cost of living package, do it now.
And the sense that it has to go wider, doesn't it? That a certain group has been catered for. And you can see that the fizz really has gone out of that. I mean, the reaction was fairly warm, but equally that sense that there are large numbers of people who are still suffering. The government response to that and the line that they're trying to put out through the week is that everyone benefits because food is getting to the supermarket shelves at an affordable price.
But you had carers and other elderly people as well ringing into Liveline there yesterday saying, well, we're seeing these headlines of all these measures, hundreds of millions of euro, but we're not seeing any improvements in our bills.
Yes, and it'll be interesting to see, what was it Paul Murphy from People Before Profit said about the fuel protest, that it had shown activists and campaigners, it had shown them about, you know, strong tactics getting a response from the government. It'll be interesting to see how the trade unions, how the Gardaí, and haven't they said already, the Garda representative
with the carrot of the EU presidency around the corner,
which gives them a card to play or two. So it'll be interesting to see how they make themselves felt over the summer months. Are we in for a long, hot summer of protest, or will people forget all their troubles in the sunshine and wait and see what happens in the autumn? I suppose that's the question, isn't it, both through the by-elections and after?
Yeah, there was something extraordinary about that week, wasn't there, after Easter, that the public opinion chimed, which were fairly hardcore protests. And it does seem to have, on the ground, fizzled out, but equally the volatility involved there, the fact that it all happened so suddenly, I think you can't really rule anything out, even if it is summer rather than winter.
Talking to coalition TDs in the corridors during the week, like one or two were saying we were out canvassing in Dublin Central, Galway West, and the feeling wasn't as vitriolic as they had perhaps expected over the last week. Others had compared it to 2011 style reactions maybe in the last week or two. So that was an interesting remark. One Fianna Fáil TD telling me, I expected to be ran off the doors, and they didn't have that. But again, I suppose the opposition might argue that people are just simply waiting to get to the ballot box.
And if that is the case on the ground, that makes it sore, particularly for the two people who've left government, the two Healy Ray brothers, of course. If it was all, what was it for that? If the energy drained out of this so quickly, you know, but that's a separate story.
It was just a rush of blood to the head. Mm-hmm. And any more clarification on their role in the political wilderness, their future direction, the Healy Rays, and together or apart?
No, I think their soreness and Michael Healy Ray is keeping an uncharacteristically low profile, I think lower than at any point since he entered electoral politics in 1999, and that is notable.
And especially for a man who's known for answering his phone.
At all hours, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and being up very early in the morning, long before it became a Leo Varadkar thing.
He's been harder to get hold of lately.
Yeah, I think so. I think this has had a real impact, and I think the full story on how that all played out and the circumstances that led to his departure probably has still some detail to emerge around that.
And Barry, of course, the by-elections that you were mentioning there, nominations closing Friday, so we know the full list of runners and riders there. But it's been interesting just talking to colleagues who've been on canvases that you're hearing from both constituencies, and very different constituencies in lots of ways, but you're hearing from both that actually it's an engaged electorate out there. People are, you know, there's not the usual by-election apathy potentially.
Yeah, and people on the doors raising quite an amount of issues as well is what the various different parties are saying, and indeed colleagues who've been out on the canvas. It is proven in a by-election as well that door-to-door canvassing, the academics say, is much more important than even in a general election. So it is a real measure and a real test of what people are engaged by. Worth noting as well, we've discussed it before, how issues, and we'll see if the fuel protests play into it, but the issue of the day can often dominate a by-election. Mm-hmm. You remember the water charges by-election that Paul Murphy won in 2014 when he beat the hot favourite Sinn Féin's Cathal King. So it'll be interesting to see what impact the fuel has, or if there is another issue to emerge over the next 3 weeks.
I think if you were to sum it up generally, the mood though, it's that from that old country song that easy's getting harder all the time, and for so many people that seems to be the sentiment.
And I thought it was interesting, a number of people have said that on the doorstep, special education as well as transport were being raised by people, you know, the daily difficulties. And just that issue of the special education classes after the SNA row, you really have a sense that people's expectations after the government's commitments on it was going to be a government that put disability first and foremost. But we have had the Taoiseach warning that, you know, even though the government say they've put huge extra resources in play and they rolled back on any cuts to the numbers of SNAs and all of that, at the same time, they are admitting that there is more demand for special classes and school supports for next September. And we have not yet heard that all children's needs will be met in their schools next September.
And the political charge is that the coalition simply kicked the can down the road when implementing that pause a few weeks ago. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. That's against the context as well of a major budget overrun in the Department of Education and pressure perhaps to rein things in.
Yes, indeed. The other interesting move this week from the government on Ukrainian accommodation, Micheál, saying that we still stand by Ukraine, and indeed Ukraine appears to have been holding its own, at least on the battlefield, and is gaining, in some ways, more of a voice on the world stage, because it's now what they're talking about, the new generation of warfare, and it's all automated and drones and AI and all the rest. But at the same time, while the government is saying they do stand by Ukraine, they're also saying that Ukrainians who come here as refugees will no longer get the generous offer of accommodation that was available before. Now they will have to compete pretty much after the initial offer. Is it a month?
30 days.
30 days. Where they get, is it about 30 quid a week? It's something around that.
Yeah, 38, I think.
Yeah, and then and then they're going to have to go out and work and provide for themselves like everybody else.
And there's two groups of people in particular, is the 15 to 16,000 who have remained in that tourist accommodation that is wound down from August over a 6 month period, except for a group that could be described as highly vulnerable or struggle with independence, and even how that's going to be determined isn't clear yet. I suppose in some ways that was coming, because there was a push within government to return rental properties and tourist hotels and the like as well. I think what could have an even greater impact, though, are the Ukrainian people who are settled in properties around the country, and that the people who are renting them to them or giving them to them were in receipt of that recognition allowance, which was pared back from 800 to 600 euro. And of course, that is tax free. Now it'll fall to about 400 euro in September and then be phased out as well. There's about 42,000 people involved in that. So that means that people who are and have integrated into communities, particularly rural ones, will have to find 600 euro to continue surviving and living in those places.
And it's interesting, isn't it, in the aftermath of the International Protection Act being signed into law by Catherine Connolly, even though she spoke, President Connolly, even though she spoke about her misgivings about it and anticipated legal challenges. It is interesting the way that the government has been moving, if you like, to tighten up on the issue of immigration, one which parties like Independent Ireland, which got a big boost in opinion polls at the weekend after the fuel protests, and ANPU have been pushing for quite a while now.
Yeah, and the coalition key to stress that this move was well flagged, that the Minister of State for Integration, Colin Brophy, had said this at the Dáil a few weeks ago, that this was coming. Interesting, the interplay between the Labour parties of Anna Batchik and the Taoiseach Micheál Martin during leaders' questions on Wednesday, of Anna Batchik saying, oh, you're leaving these the 16,000 Ukrainian refugees to either pick between a rental market where they can't find anything or going back to a war zone. And the Taoiseach in response telling her that to heckles from the opposition benches, that he said the profile of those who are homeless in the country had changed due to migration. So those remarks somewhat interesting in the context of that.
What was it? The Taoiseach said something like 50%. Only
50%. Over 50%,
of people who were on the homeless register. And of course, that up over 17,000 now, over more than 5,000 children. So that only 50% were Irish citizens. Mm-hmm. And that got a big reaction, didn't it, from some of the opposition parties around the Dáil?
Yeah, it did. And it also got a big reaction online. And, you know, this is something that was known and all that. The fact that the Taoiseach's saying it, and the fact that it's coming too, I suppose, in the context of two by-elections, I think it is very striking. And it does, again, signal a change in approach. And it is something that Labour Party in particular were calling out during the week.
So that while the commitments to human rights and all that architecture are still the same, is Ireland becoming a colder house than it would have been a couple of years ago in terms of migrants and refugees?
Well, it's certainly far off, isn't it, where it would be at the start of the war in Ukraine. And it's far away from the programme for government negotiations in 2020, where the main focus on the piece on migration that went into that document was about ending direct provision. It's a very different situation now.
And while the homeless, another homeless record, obviously, is an issue that opposition have been pressing with government, Barry, a boost perhaps for government in the latest data on housing completion figures. There was an increase this year, wasn't there?
Yeah, and this is in the context as well of the government's housing plan that was launched late last year to build so many homes by 2030. But yet there was an increase, and this is a 33% surge in the number of homes built in the first 3 months of the year, around 7,800. Now, this is still short. Some are saying, Davy Stockbroker saying, it's still short than the 9,000 that are needed. Now, talking to the Construction Industry Federation earlier this year, they really said that the first 6 months of the year would tell a lot as to whether the government can hit those targets it has set for 2030. So they will obviously point to it. This is a sign they're on the right track. And I know James Brown has been out as well, welcoming these figures.
Yes,
but again, of course, being flagged in the Dáil, wasn't it, that construction could hit the buffers now if the energy shock has an impact. And we did see belatedly at the last minute vehicles on construction sites and quarries included in that rebate scheme, essentially.
But we don't know when they'll be included.
We have had some very big developers warning, haven't we, that it's really impossible to sign contracts at the moment, because you're signing a fixed price contract And then you're ending up, you know, your costs could go up. Speaking of which, doesn't that lead us so nicely, except it's not a fixed price contract at all, for the Children's Hospital, because the Public Accounts Committee was hearing a bit more about another delay, 2027 now.
Yeah, and unlikely to be open this year was as far as they could go. But the full detail is meant to be given tomorrow. But today was one of the days that was earmarked for sign over and handover, but it didn't happen. And there's been problems with doors and floors and leaks in recent times, and dust as well causing havoc, all kind of contributing to it. But I think still a degree of optimism that the thing can be delivered for 1.88 billion. That's a long way off the 960 million. Initial estimate, though, or one of the initial estimates.
19th today, isn't it?
19th now, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought Children's Health Ireland and the Children's Hospital Board, I thought they were, you know, they were really robust, weren't they, in their engagement with the Public Accounts Committee today. And they were saying, you know, it's not on us. BAM obviously saying it's down to design changes.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a he said, she said at the moment, isn't it?
Definitely. And even when Health Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill on Primetime 2 weeks ago saying she couldn't say this major project in her own department when it would be completed by, but she was happy to share clips from that interview on social media. So yeah, it's really hard still to know where it's going, but all the sides are still pretty much saying the same thing they have on the previous delays.
Well, don't hold your breath anyhow, not for the next couple of months. We were all at the Sinn Féin Ordesh over the weekend. Belfast was looking absolutely glorious, wasn't it, in the sunshine? And you had some beautiful shots, Micheál, of people rowing on the lag, and it just looked...
Yeah, picture perfect. Yeah. And the message from the Sinn Féin leader about everyone being cohesive and working together, but still at the same time being on the back foot to an extent when having to answer questions about was her leadership in peril in any way, something she said wasn't the case. Delegates too, and when we did speak to them on the floor, seeming to champion that idea rather than being uneasy, but definitely a sense that the party is seeking to just consolidate things, stay in the game. But there is that by-election test, no matter what Sinn Féin says about it, a huge test in the leader's constituency and a huge measure.
And Mary Lou MacDonald adamant that she wouldn't be quitting after the by-elections, whether they failed to win one or two of them, and obviously Dublin Central. If, as leader of the party, having been leader for 8 years, having failed to lead her party, despite their polling success, into government in two general elections, if she can't bring in a running mate, is that not even pause for call? You know, a moment to reflect about where you're going.
Historically, Leo Varadkar in 2020 is the only Taoiseach to fail to bring in a running mate. Every other Taoiseach did, obviously, famously, a human surplus or two thrown in. But if you're not bringing in a running mate, if Sinn Féin can't pick up a second seat in Dublin Central at a general election, then it does, I suppose, call into question what numbers they would come back with and whether those numbers would be sufficient to lead a coalition. There was no degree of certainty from talking to delegates that Sinn Féin, they felt, would win either contest. They felt both were quite challenging. But I did detect a sense that there's going to be a lot of resources now put into Dublin Central, given the questions that were asked of the party leader about her role at the helm of the party, given its obvious significance as well. So watch out for lots of boots on the ground, perhaps, or whether there'll be lots of boots on the ground from Sinn Féin perspective.
And there was a lot of focus on that vote, wasn't there, on, for instance, fox hunting, which saw the leadership and which has been, didn't Matt Carthy talk about it during that debate, you know, that the party had been trying to reach out and make common concern with rural voters, and that was the thing to focus on, and instead this motion on banning fox hunting, which was voted through and is now Sinn Féin policy. So that's what the debate was about that. But I suppose, I mean, everybody talks about Sinn Féin being a very centralised party, but, you know, there have been a fair few Ordeshna with a lot more significant debates and walkouts and splinters. So, you know, there is a history of debate at Sinn Féin or Ordeshna. There actually is.
Yes, but nearly in all of them, in the big decisions that had to be made over the last 20 years or so, the leadership was able to shepherd things through, whether it's, you know, signing up to the PSNI, whether it's their debates down in the Wexford Ardesh a few years ago around the abortion legislation. While they were heated and edgy, it always got through. I think Matt Carthy did make the big plea about rural voters, and of course that is central if they are going to make breakthrough and get beyond where they are now. But equally at the end was trying to say that Sinn Féin still has a policy that caters for farmers and game clubs up and down the country as well, and that it was a broad, that it was a broad church.
And coming back to the by-elections, it'll be, of course, the adage is, isn't it, Barry, that governments never, don't usually win by-elections, that it's you know, an easy vote against the government. But it'll be interesting to see where the government candidates, even if they don't win, are placed in the eventual lineup.
Definitely, and I detect Fine Gael are really quite optimistic that they'll be in the mix, or they will say publicly that both candidates will win, but they obviously have higher profile candidates than Fianna Fáil in the case of former Chief Whip Sean Kine in Galway West and the Dublin City Lord Mayor Ray McAdam in Dublin Central, the Cavan man. So they will hope to be in the mix. Fianna Fáil, perhaps it's hard to read their prospects. John Stevens in Dublin Central, obviously a former aide of Bertie Ahern, and in Galway West, young Killian Keane, 24 years of age, from Oran Mór. Again, if either of those perhaps perform particularly badly, you will see renewed questions again of the leadership, although perhaps not amounting to anything significant all the same.
And nominations close in both by-elections tomorrow. The full list of names will be available to you on the RTE website. I think we've got a list of the candidates so far,
yes,
both constituencies,
on both constituency profiles.
So you can amuse yourself with all of that until we come back and talk to you again next week.
But don't forget, before you go, to advise people to take the roof rack off the car if they're not using it, to save petrol and diesel. That's the advice from the government.
Where would we be without you, Micheál?
Don't forget. And keep the boot light. Keep the boot light.
So. Keep her light. Yeah. All right. Good luck. Bye-bye.